بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, I was thinking of what to send out today as a Fajr reminder when my very dear friend from Cape Town, Dr. Yaqub Umar, sent me this absolutely fantastic story about Mr. Hamilton Naki. I will tell you the story in a minute. The it's an incredibly inspiring story. And I want to acknowledge my brother Dr. Yaqub Umar's contribution to this further reminder. But before I go to the story, let me give you a reference from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Najm, where he said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. There is nothing for man except what he strives for. There is nothing more than what he strives for, and which automatically means that there is as much as he strives for. Both would be the translation of this. I'm saying this especially in the context also of the ongoing dialogue that's happening in India with regard to the state of Indian Muslims and the fact and the reason for our issues being, one of the primary reasons being the way that we have looked away from education, from quality education. I'm not talking about low quality, substandard kind of education that is there, but high quality education, and especially if you compare with what the Christians have done in India. I don't have to places like St. Stephen's College and St. Xavier's College and so on, Loyola Academy, I don't have to promote these. People go there, people fight to go there, and people then quote the names of those colleges with great pride in their CVs, and those names carry weight. In that background, I want to tell you this story. And the story is of a person in Cape Town, a black African man called Mr. Hamilton Naki. And I'm just reading from the story which Dr. Yaqub Umar sent me. Cape Town's uneducated surgeon, Mr. Hamilton Naki, who was awarded the honorary degree of Master of Medicine, could neither read nor write. Let's see how this happened. Cape Town Medical University has a leading position in the medical world. The world's first heart transplant took place at this university. And this heart transplant, the doctor who did it, whose name was Christian Barnard, who acknowledged the work of Mr. Hamilton Naki only after apartheid was over, even though he was the man who assisted Dr. Barnard in this heart transplant. It was the first time it happened in the world anywhere. So Christian Barnard, white South African, became world famous, and Hamilton Naki, nobody had heard of him. To come back to the story, one morning in 2003, the world-renowned surgeon Professor David Dent announced in the university auditorium. He said, "Today we are awarding an honorary degree in medicine to the man who produced the most surgeons in the world, an extraordinary teacher and an amazing surgeon who understood medical science and surprised the human mind." And with this announcement, the professor took the name of Hamilton Naki, and the entire auditorium stood and greeted and applauded. It was the biggest reception in the history of this university. Hamilton was born in 1926 in Sanitani, which is a remote village in Cape Town. His parents were shepherds. As a child, he wore goatskin and walked in the mountains barefoot all day. His father fell ill, so he left the sheep and goats and moved to Cape Town. And this is in 1926. We are looking at the middle of the apartheid white supremacy rule in South Africa. Construction was underway at the University of Cape Town in those days. He joined the university as a laborer. He would send home as much money as he could get after a hard day's work, and he used to sleep on the open ground by chewing gram himself. He worked as a laborer for many years. The construction process ended. Hamilton got the job of mowing the tennis court. He arrived at the tennis court every day and started mowing the lawn. He did this for 3 years. Then came a strange turn in his life, which enabled him to reach a point in medical science where no one else has ever been. It was a mild, warm morning. Professor Robert Joyce, who was researching giraffes, wanted to see why a giraffe doesn't suffer a seizure when it bends its neck to drink water. I'm sure many of us have had this, especially the older ones, have had this rather pleasant feeling, but it's not safe. If you suddenly get up from sajda, then you start feeling dizzy and hazy in the head, and you kind of lose your sense of balance. And that happens because the blood suddenly drains down. But giraffes, whose head goes up, much more, obviously much more, almost 10, 12 feet up, nothing happens to them. So they laid a giraffe on the operating table, knocked him unconscious, and as soon as the operation started, the giraffe started to shake its head. So they needed a strong man to keep the giraffe's neck tight, to hold the giraffe's neck tight during the operation. The professor came out of the theater and he saw Hamilton mowing the lawn. The professor figured that he was a healthy young man with a strong physique. He beckoned Hamilton and ordered him to grab the giraffe's neck. Hamilton obliged and grabbed the giraffe's neck. The surgery lasted 8 hours. During this time, the doctor and his assistants continued to take tea and coffee breaks. However, Hamilton was left where he was, and he stood still holding the giraffe's neck. When the operation was over, he quietly went out and started mowing the lawn. The next day, the professor called him again. He came and grabbed the giraffe's neck and stood, after which it became his routine. He worked double shifts for many months, but never demanded additional compensation for this duty, and nor did he ever complain about it. Professor Robert Joyce was impressed by his perseverance and sincerity. Hamilton was promoted from mowing the tennis court to lab assistant. He now came to the university, went to the operation theater, and helped the surgeons. The process continued for years. In 1958 came another turning point in his life. This year, Dr. Christian Barnard came to the university and started heart transplant operations. Hamilton became his assistant. Now the doctors operate, and after the operation, he was given the task of stitching. Hamilton was nimble and fast, and sometimes he used to stitch 50 people in a day. While working in the operating theater, he began to understand the human body as much as the surgeons did. So the senior doctors gave him the responsibility of teaching the juniors. He now began teaching surgery techniques to junior doctors. He gradually became the most important figure in the university. He was unfamiliar with terms of medical science, but he became one of the best surgeons. The third turning point in his life came in 1970, when research on the liver began this year. And he identified one liver artery during surgery, which made liver transplantation easier. The professor's remarks astonished the great minds of medical science. He said, "Today, when a patient undergoes a liver surgery and opens his eyes and sees the light, the credit for this success goes to Hamilton." Hamilton achieved this position with sincerity and perseverance. He was associated with the University of Cape Town for 50 years. In those 50 years, he never took a vacation. He would leave home at 3 o'clock in the at night, walk 14 miles to the university, and he would enter the theater at exactly 6 o'clock. People used to correct and set their watches when he entered the theater. He received an honor that no one in medical science has ever received. Hamilton was the first illiterate teacher of medicine in medical history. He was the first illiterate surgeon to train 30,000 surgeons in his lifetime. He died in 2005 and was buried at the university And it has become a custom and almost mandatory for surgeons passing out from the university to go to his grave, take a picture, and then go into practical life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. I don't think I need to do any explanations of this. Alhamdulillah, this is clear as a bell. It is for us to decide what we want to do with our own lives. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ